The political action committees of corporate America may play a bigger role than ever in this year's congressional elections. Corporate PACs get their money from individual executives and stockholders. Contributions are voluntary but are often strongly encouraged. In fact, a magazine for financial officers says its survey finds that some executives feel pressured to give. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
CFO Magazine publishes the survey in its current issue. An advance copy was provided to NPR. The magazine's research editor, Don Durfee, says that corporate executives sometimes regard their company's PAC as a matter of office politics, not national politics.
24% of the executives at companies that have PACs reported that they feel that not giving to their company's PACs would be detrimental to their career in some way. Another 16% aren't sure.
The survey is a small one, 4,000 questionnaires mailed out to magazine subscribers with about 7% responding. So it's more suggestive than definitive. But it does rekindle some long-standing questions about corporate PACs and whether they're as voluntary as they're supposed to be. The law is explicit. A PAC can raise money from executives, stockholders, and their families, but the corporation can't coerce anyone into giving. Again, Don Durfee.
Top executives of a company regard the political giving as part of doing business, really. And there's an expectation that other senior executives will all sort of pitch in for the good of the company. But there is a feeling of queasiness, I think, among some executives that, you know, if they don't pitch in, that could do them some harm in the long term.
About a quarter of the respondents said they didn't even know which candidates ended up getting their PAC contributions. There's a National Association of Business PACs in Washington. The association's campaign finance attorney declined to comment on the CFO survey. But the survey does fit the conventional wisdom about PACs and pressure. Paul Hernson, a political scientist at the University of Maryland, follows PAC trends. He says, for example, that ideological PACs use their money to elect candidates who agree with them. But corporate PACs are pragmatic. They usually give money to well-placed incumbents as part of a balanced lobbying effort.
Corporate PACs know that changing a comma here, adding a sentence there, can be a tremendous boon to them in terms of regulatory relief or tax breaks or even some kind of appropriation that would help them conduct their business better.
Corporate PACs are the biggest segment of the PAC business. They easily outnumber the PACs of unions, trade associations, or ideological groups, and they have more money. The corporate PACs may even grow in importance this year because of the latest campaign finance reform. The McCain-Feingold law ended another larger conduit of corporate cash, so-called soft money contributions, to the party committees. At a recent conference, business lobbyist Dan Mattoon said he's seeing corporations starting to ratchet up expectations for their executives.
Going back to individuals and saying, giving your PAC is not enough. You now have to write a check to your party, your state party, local party, national party, to help satisfy the continual hunger of the electoral process.
And writing those checks can be even costlier than giving to the corporate PAC. So corporate executives who feel pressured for PAC contributions may be caught in yet another bind, as the costliest election in U.S. history moves into its final months. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.